Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday show with Jack Jodell of Saturday Afternoon Post and Gwen Berry from Roundtree 7 Blogs. We're here for the Sunday show. We're going to start it out with a little bit of, you know, mind-clearing music for you, playing ourselves in.
Great.
Heck, I'll bet you recognize it, guys.
Around you, and you will see who you are on a clear day. How it will astound you that the glow outshines every star. You'll feel part of every mountain, sea and shore, and you can hear from far and near a world you've never heard before. But on that clear day, on that clear day, you can see forever and ever, ever.
Before, so I'm stumped as to who it was, but
it was the Peddlers. Do you remember the Peddlers, the Millionaires?
No, I didn't know of them. The Peddlers. No, that song dates from about early mid '60s, I believe.
Yeah.
Clarity You Can See Forever. I think it was from some movie or something too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was the movie. The name of the movie was On a Clear Day with Barbara Streisand.
Oh, okay.
And I recently saw this overlaid. I've been watching the boob tube late at night, and there's a show called Breaking Bad, which is a thorough mind fucker, you know. It's nothing, it has no redeeming value really, but they played this as these guys were doing the dirty deed of cooking down some meth in a meth lab, and I just thought, oh my gosh, isn't that just wonderful how blithely they're, you know, and I enjoyed it. So
yeah,
it seems to cover everything. Want to enjoin people today to give a call in during the hour we're on, because it's just you and me, Jack. We're doing a little political week's discussion.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll hear from a lot of people, I'm sure, and we usually do. So we invite all callers to call in, like you say. And we've got something topical to talk about this week, and should provoke some measure of response.
Yeah. I posted the number in the chat room, and I wanna open up with saying congratulations and giving a hand to the Hands Across the Sand folks, who did a completely successful activism on yesterday, Hands Across the Sands events all around the Gulf Coast, and a few of them here.
Great.
On the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, activism is a livelihood now. I guess we're all there.
Well, there's opportunity for everybody to not only express themselves, but to keep interest going and educate the public and all those good things.
Yeah, and well, Hands Across the Sand, very important to us down here on the East Coast right now, bringing up the awareness, you know, idiot in Tallahassee is...
Mm-hmm.
Along with the Congress of the United States, is doing their best for the petrochemical companies to open up offshore drilling on our side of the drink here.
Yeah.
And it's to cry about. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So Hands Across the Sand, very valid, very, very wonderful group. I want to read something to you, Jack, that Cherie Foytlin, our friend from Rain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anna has written today. This was her status post this morning on Facebook. She wrote, started in a Houston environmental justice community near a refinery where folks have a 51% chance of getting cancer. Went to 113 degree weather where the high used to be around 104. Saw the Oklahoma wildfire disaster beginnings, met an American landowner whose land is being stolen by a foreign company for a pipeline. We know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
Back to see a shrimp processor show a laundry basket a third full of tar balls after a 20-minute beach walk to some state legislators, and then heard the pain in America's fishing families' voices, those who are not being, quote, made right after America's largest environmental disaster in history.
Mm-hmm.
Hung out near a sinkhole. There's a big sinkhole in Louisiana right now.
Mm-hmm.
Disrupting a pipeline or vice versa in the bayou, while two possible hurricanes wander around out there. 4 days in our America. Think on that a bit.
Yeah, it's disgusting that so much of the country is unaware, really, what's going on down in the Gulf there. And thanks to your program, people are getting some awareness about it. I mean, it's disgusting, too, when you look at television and you see ads put up by BP and they spend millions of dollars producing these things about, oh, the Gulf is fabulous this year and we're setting all kinds of records and the fish are great and they're biting and they're huge and come on down and have some. What a bunch of crap. These guys are liars.
People
come down and get poisoned is what they should say.
People are pulling cancer-riddled, you know, shrimp and fish out of the ocean. They're taking pictures of it. They post it all over the networks, Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Facebook, Google, Circles, all of those. They there's been, a large sinkhole started happening down in the bayou a day or two ago, which is on a gas, some kind of a gas, natural gas thing they got going there. It's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And we have a couple of Huru Khans out there trying to figure out which way they're going to come. And every time a hurricane hits the Gulf Basin, it begins to whip up whatever's on the surface. And a lot of folks are still unaware that our Coast Guard has given the okay to the oil riggers out there to spray Corexit on oil.
Yeah, terrible, out, yeah.
Out there. And this stuff is making so
it's
many
pure
people
poison.
Sick.
It's carcinogenic. It's pure poison. It's garbage.
Yeah, and it's put children in the hospital first, and then it's like Catfish Miller. He started a year and a half ago with doing videos from his hospital room. I'm not sure if Catfish is still alive, but he really got hit. He was one of the people out on boats trying to help clean up to make extra money. So it's when Cherie has been posting these things. She's taking.
Great.
A kind of a breather, I think, right now, after working so hard for so long and getting little back, you know, from the government.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's been difficult for her, so.
Sure it has, you bet. Under attack from all the powers that be and, you know, having to fend on her own like that, I admire her courage tremendously. And, you know, it's gotten to the point now where I won't buy anything. It's caught in the Gulf. I just won't buy any seafood down there. I don't care what they say about it.
Yeah.
We have trucks that come up here from Texas. I don't know if it's a little different in Texas, but I don't trust it. I'm not sure. And they sell their seafood, you know, up here once a month. They come up and they hit about 5 different spots, and they park their truck for a weekend or for a day. And I used to buy, but I won't buy anymore. It's too risky, and I don't know what I'm buying.
Yeah,
I'm buying death is what I'm buying.
Yeah,
you know?
they're wholesaling death off the tailgates, and if these truckers and the people who buy as jobbers don't buy it, the U.S. government is buying what's left up, and guess who they feed it to?
Oh my God, the poor.
No, they feed it to our troops is who they feed
it.
Oh,
jeez, yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah,
no,
so
oh,
what we got going on here is, you know.
It is just disgusting.
So when Cherie posts like that, you look up and you say, oh, my gosh, what is, you know. And then Manny, our friend the Reverend,
right.
Manny, Jelomsky posted early today a piece by the Christian Left, and his comment was that $10 million from the country's largest oil production firm, which produces a serious fraction of our poison nation's pollution, and one of the most conservative families to mess with Christian brains. Now, this was something on an article he posted. The Christian right is getting into the, you know, is being funded now by folks like the Koch brothers to further the petrochemical agenda and the politics that they would like to see fulfilled, you know.
Oh, yeah, they don't want any regulation. They want free hand to do whatever they want, whenever they want, wherever they want, however they want. No, those guys are disgusting.
And they call folks like you and me green dragons. You know, it's like
they can call us whatever they want. We'll never join with them because we know how evil and selfish they are, and they're duping thousands, millions of very good-hearted, innocent, albeit ignorant, religious right citizens into doing what they want and supporting them, and it is really mass deception.
It is. I agree with you. I come from the radical side. You come from the progressive side. I want you to hear something.
Mm-hmm.
There is a state senator from West Virginia. Her name is Charlotte Pritt.
Mm-hmm.
And she made a video this week that's starting to go around. It's a little lengthy. It's about 5 minutes, but it's well worth listening to because it shows a shift. It shows a direct shift. I mean, it's not radical enough for a lot of folks, but I find it positive and fascinating. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I have just last night changed my registration to Mountain Party, and that was something that took a lot of reflection and soul searching, because it means if my dad finds out, which he will, there's probably going to be an interesting family talk around the table about what's happened in that venue. But it seemed a natural thing when I stopped to do a reality check of where the Democratic Party was, what was happening within the party, what was happening within our country. I had to face the realization that now we really are more a fascist country than we are a democracy or a republic. We look at the definition of fascism as a dictatorship with a leadership in cahoots with business, and the government is in cahoots with big business, and we have belligerent nationalism. So I think that the reflection of Occupy lets us know that this is where we are, because they're protesting that very invasion of our own democratic republic. So I had to accept the fact that my own party, especially here in the state of West Virginia, now on the national level it's different, but here in West Virginia, my own party is a part of that fascist tendency with the multinationals coming in, using fracking and destroying the groundwater, blowing the tops off mountains for greed, for their own money, where we see so many people in West Virginia without, and a few of the people outside the state having a great deal of money. So I did a lot of searching. I looked at, who am I? Who am I really? Am I a Democrat? Am I this or that? I realized that I'm a progressive. I am a progressive. I'm a progressive Democrat. I'm a liberal. I'm a reformer. And when I looked at the dictionary definition of that, I found that actually Theodore Roosevelt, a Republican, had started the Progressive Party in the United States way back when. And I also saw that the progressive tax that Obama is talking about, taxing the wealthier at a higher rate, is also in the definition of progressive. So I realized that it's not a party label, actually, that makes us a progressive. It's our views and our willingness to stand up for the people, for the environment, for making change, to having the courage to actually do something about what's happening. So progressives are those who are moving forward, and they're moving forward in the face of sometimes insurmountable odds. But I realize that I'm the type of person that if I don't stand up for what I know is right, if I don't join arms with the people who are fighting the good fight, then I can't really respect myself. And so when I realized that this year, with all of the things that were happening with the Democratic Party, that the party was no longer the party of the progressives. The party had changed into something, morphed into something that was not a part of something I wanted to be a part of here in West Virginia. I also realized that in West Virginia, that the only people, the only party that had been carrying the banner, and I mean they were carrying the banner in the face of not being allowed to be on public broadcasting. They were not being allowed to have poll workers in the poll. They were being treated as a third world country would treat their election process. Our candidates were not allowed, we could not even have the kind of editorials or even to be interviewed by our major newspapers that were supposedly liberal newspapers. We have a sense here in which the Mountain Party has been in the desert carrying our banner. They may be tattered, they may be torn, but their spirits are high. And it is time for every progressive in this state to start doing what we should have done years ago. We were sitting back philosophizing when we had Mountain Party candidates and Mountain Party people, the few of them who were struggling, who were working for us, for our values, while we were sitting back talking about how we didn't want to leave a certain party or we didn't want to do a certain thing. And I'm just saying now, wake up, West Virginia. Wake up, workers. Wake up, people in West Virginia below the $250,000. Wake up, West Virginia students who have loans. Wake up, hunters and fishermen who want to make certain that we have fish in our streams, and we want to be able to have the beauty of our land. Wake up, women. Wake up, women of West Virginia. When I think of the women through the suffragette movement who suffered, went to jail, and went through torture so they could we could have the right to vote, what are you doing voting for people who are not pro-choice? What are you doing, women of West Virginia? We need to wake up, West Virginia. There is an alarm going off, and I am challenging every progressive in this state to join me, to join the Mountain Party, either in changing your registration or coming with us so that Progressives United can stand, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or Independent. We need to move, and we need to move now.
Amazing. If you've ever lived...
It is. I could marry her in an instant.
I got to tell you, I lived and worked on a newspaper in Appalachia for, I guess it was a better part of 6 years.
Wow.
And my editor, who was my best buddy, great gal, was also very good friends with Jesse Helms. It was difficult.
Wow.
The point is, if you knew the mindset of even Democrats in Appalachia, to hear this woman speak this way and put it out on video and try to ask her constituency and the people of her state to wake up like this, it is a definite shift of thinking. And
well,
I find
good.
It very
That's one we need.
Yeah,
we need that nationally.
I've written to her. I'd like to have her on this show. I have something here that I'd like to share from the chat room from Krell. And this is something that he posted today. The constant, never ending, no rest, no sleep, a mountaintop here, an entire ecological system there. It'll always be there because the need for profit will never end. As long as there is a buck to be made and the potential for that buck is in the ocean, land, or air, it will be taken. They will not stop voluntarily. They must be forced to stop. This is the intelligent consensus of thinking voters now. I mean, on our side of the fence, hon.
Right. Oh, exactly. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I've been seeing for many years, I noticed a change in the Democratic Party nationally and even locally, and I'm in the upper Midwest here, but regardless, nationally even, in about the mid-70s, about the time Jimmy Carter came in, right around that time. It was a gradual phase in change in thinking. But, you know, they grew real fat and happy, and they thought they'd be in power forever. Well, Ronald Reagan proved that he could rip the Senate away from them, and that's what happened to them. And they started thinking, oh, well, we got to go rightward now. And ever since then, it's been a disaster. They've tried to placate the right. They've tried to cozy up to big business. And you know what? It's meant an absolute disaster for most of the people in this country, for the environment, for anywhere you look. It's been bad for everybody except big business. And you know something?
Right.
Ms. Pritt is right on the money with a lot of her assertions on that stuff. There's no doubt about it. There needs to be a big change, and it needs to be a progressive change, something that is meaningful to the vast majority of people, and getting away from this corporatism that we seem to be totally immersed in right now. This is one of the worst periods in American history to be totally immersed in corporatism the way we are.
Well, and what Krell, and remember, David Williams is a very logical fellow has both feet on the ground with a very, you know, American Gothic family. Well, American Gothic with plague doctors. And basically, if a fellow like this, who's a vice president of a large company, responsible for many employees, with a very good head on his shoulders, is under the impression that we have to take ourselves out into the street and push it, you know, it's logical, it's truth, it's real.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, Democrats have gotten, even to this day, they're getting their face beat in left, right, and center. And, you know, they're sitting in there, they're trying to play the Republican game, the conservative game, and I'm sorry, that's not why they're in the, that's not why the Democratic Party was started. It's not why it evolved the way it did under Franklin Roosevelt, and I wish we would return to those days. But we're not doing it. Instead, people are very complacent. They're very, I'm a liberal. Well, being a liberal doesn't mean what it used to mean. It means really a lot of liberals have kind of caved in and gone this corporatist route, and I fault Bill Clinton for that because he came up with this New Democrat stuff, which was a bunch of crap. All it was a pushing of the Democratic Party further to the right. And,
well,
you know,
one of the problems with, and I've heard this before, and I heard it again on Here Be Monsters on Friday night. Laris Keith, she's one of the authors of Deep Green Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
She was on with Anita, and she was speaking about the very real difference between liberals and radicals is that liberals are individualists. And they steer things from an individual point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And radicals now, and I'm not agreeing completely 100% with this, but radicals are people who understand the system must change in a group or community effort.
Community fashion. I tend to think along those lines, too.
I think we all are. We're all there. And then Russell... I can't really pronounce his name. I think it's McKeever. Is a writer for Counterpunch, the blog Counterpunch, and he posted that article, 10 Reasons That He's Not With Barack.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it would, you know, for anybody, because, you know, we get a lot of listens and archives to our show.
Right.
It would be really wonderful to bring up the 10 reasons that he is not standing with or voting for Barack Obama.
Sure, you know, I wrote them down. I don't have them word for word, but I
got them right here.
You do? Okay, good. Let's go back and forth on them. That sounds great.
I got my board up, hon. Also, I'd like to say that Krell is pointing out that force doesn't always mean torches and pitchforks. Force could be using the courts with lawsuits. Forcing the EPA to be an actual entity, you know. And
yeah, it doesn't mean sticking a gun in somebody's face and saying, do this, you know. It's not
like
that at all.
What are they going to do, march up to the Pentagon with pitchforks and hammer handles? I don't think it's going to work. But, you know, there's a lot of folks ready to.
Understandably.
But if that doesn't work, a major movement, Greenpeace, back when it was fighting nuclear in Germany, was a real force for change. Well, Europeans know how to get the job done.
Well, they do, and they're more thorough, and they're less affected by advertisements on television and bull crap. They're more astute in their observations.
Corporations pay the kind of money over there to inundate
the populace,
inundate the television. But they're also very, very, they are real labor parties over there. They are unions.
Exactly.
And those unions stick together for the right political reasons. Of course, Greenpeace.
Well, look at, they get 6 weeks of paid vacation in a lot of European countries. Christ, we're lucky to get two.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
So that right there, on the surface of it right there, is a very... brief example of why they're a lot more effective over there and why they really deliver for people.
Yeah. Going back to the reasons why one would not vote for Barack Obama, and I'm kind of tired of the lesser of two evils, and it's about Supreme Court justices kind of arguments, because
there's a lot of truth to it, though, Gwen. There really is. We're stuck with two impossible choices. We're stuck with choosing a one percenter, a blatant one percenter who makes no apologies for it, who's laden himself with neocons as advisors and idiots, or in a return to the Bush policies, or you've got a guy that's a milquetoast. I mean, you know, that isn't much of a choice.
Well, I happen to think that this president has aligned himself neocon-wise as far as banking goes. Very, very.
Yeah, I know. I agree. And so does, and it's pointed out that way in this article that you mentioned.
It was worse.
Right.
I mean, you got two of a kind there. It's about saying to people, pull your britches up and your zipper and snap it on and say, hey, wait a minute here. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is and vote for the Green Party. You know, if there was a 20% vote for the Socialists or the Green Party in this country, it would shift politics. It would be a critical mass.
Right. The problem is we're not in the foreseeable future. We're not going to get there, and that's the problem. And like I've said before many times, when the left fragments itself and starts fighting amongst themselves, it always, always leads to a victory for the right. And you know what? We've had plenty of that lately. We don't need any more victories for the right.
Yeah, we said a couple of weeks ago on the show with Manny and Krell and the rest of it.
Right.
And I will quote Krell here from this moment right now. He says, the election is not a zero-sum game. If we never force our morals on the party and allow them to assume we are a done deal, and I can imagine, then we will always be a two-party non-solution kind of enterprise here as a country.
Right, exactly. Well, the two parties are stale, as we've already discussed that. They're very stale, and they've become very, very similar to each other. And, you know, it's not been for the good of the country. It's been the good for the good of a few special interests, and that's it. But, you know, I'm very upset about the fact that we have basically been betrayed from the left by a bunch of milquetoasts and guys that really aren't what they appeared to be.
Well, they're corporate. They're bought and paid for.
Exactly.
The Oval Office on down to Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
They're all corporatists.
Yeah, they're corporatists. Number 10 in the reasons why, what Russell wrote, number 10 was single payer as a young politician. Barack Obama said he was for single payer national health insurance.
Yeah, then he abandoned it, and that's terrible.
He was against it and worked to keep the insurance companies in the game. I mean, people talk about the wonderment of Obamacare and how it'll bring, you know, it's better than nothing and yada, yada. You know, first of all, they're going to make me pay for insurance that won't have to cover me if it doesn't want to because it still has that wiggle room. And he just gave the insurance companies and the medical industry a motherfucking big boom of money without doing anything to implement all of the wonderful things that would make medicine in this country more accessible and effective, like
authorizing
all of the information in the hospitals and on down the line. So, you know,
Dr. Jane referenced that in his talk a couple weeks back. Exactly the same point. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that, and that's why his collusion with the insurance companies is reprehensible. And it's amazing that those on the right want to repeal it so badly and just go back to what it was, you know?
It's insane, isn't it?
It is. It's absolutely insane.
You know, Krell also is mentioning here, I want to bring this up because he's talking on the show today via the chat room. He's saying nothing would force a change in the party faster than a loss. They would analyze and critique the results to morph it into what is needed. I'm wondering if it's real. Number nine, and this would be my number one, but this is Mr. Russell. This is Russell's number nine.
Right.
It's the kill list.
Kill list, yeah.
We're against detention without trial, but you're okay with killing without trial.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
To the New York Times, you personally pick the candidates for execution. The result.
Yeah, I know. Every Tuesday morning they meet and they do that. It's you know. It's anti everything. It's anti America. It's anti any way you look at it. It's not a
human
rights good program.
As far as human rights goes, it's like you know,
decimated.
Dropping trow and taking a, you know where I'm going
big
there.
Big time, yep. That's
yeah,
right.
And okay, number eight would be minimum wage, and I remember this during the 2008 campaign. He promised a minimum wage raise of $9.50 an hour when he became president, and he never even lifted a finger. I mean, we have unchecked poverty in this
country.
You
know, it was big time talk, and it got the left excited, but that's all it did, and he didn't follow through on it, and that's why he's in trouble today.
Well, yeah, and he's trying very hard to bring that grassroots academy back to him. Number seven is corporate crime. It's been 4 years since the fiscal crisis crippled the American economy. And
none of those guys are in jail either, and every one of them should be.
Not a single prosecution. And we've got LIBOR bearing down on us now from across the drink. And you think that isn't going to hit us? It already has.
Right.
Fraud played such a major part in this whole meltdown, yet this Justice Department, led by corporate lawyers, hasn't gotten the job done, and there's been no justice.
Exactly. And and look at what's going on with Congress. They cited Holder in contempt of Congress, of all things, for not cooperating with them fully. What do they want? These guys are, talk about corporatists. I mean, the Republican Party is a capital C. They might as well call themselves a corporate party. And, you know, the Democrats have fallen right in line, too, with it. It's pathetic.
Well, and in these elections, I'm quoting Krelligan, the problem is money involved. The huge money allows
too much money. Yep.
Any politician to become what is elected, not who they are. They present an image, and the prime example on this is Obama. I think one day in history people will look at him as not the first black or African-American president. I think they will see him as the first fraud, a success, you know, obvious fraud that that got over on so many people so quickly. And really, he manipulated his racial status to a certain degree in the end. Of course, I'm going to catch shit for that, I know. But okay.
There's a certain amount of truth to that, no doubt. Yep.
Yeah, it needs to be watered down, I suppose. But number six would be, and I very much agree on this one, Israel-Palestine. Instead of standing up to Romney and Netanyahu, he buckled. Mm-hmm. And as Tom Friedman put it, you shut down the peace process. And he did. He did shut down the peace
Big
process.
Big mistake. Just so that more intrigues can be played in the Middle East, you know, we don't know about Iran yet. We don't know what's going on over there. And, you know, they're circulating, trying to do something. And Syria's entering into the equation now. We don't know. Oh, yeah, we don't want to send any troops over there. No, we just want to send drones and every other type of thing. And, you know, we don't know. That's the problem. We don't know what's going on. That's the problem.
Number five, he puts in energy. Instead of pursuing a 25-year plan to get us off fossil fuels, accepted the fossil fuels industry mantra of we need it all, oil, coal, nuclear alternatives, resulting in an ongoing addiction. I would add to this, in the face of Fukushima and all of it from, you know, 3 Mile to Chernobyl to Fukushima, it's total motherfucking insanity to use nuclear energy to create.
Nuclear energy is dead in my book, but not in the government's book. And and we see it all around us, all the devastation that and the fossil fuel industry has wrought all throughout the your part of the country down there in the Gulf, and elsewhere in the world. I mean, when are people going to wise up? But, you know, the problem is there is so much money being spent from these fossil fuel groups and these nuclear groups and everybody else. They're spending so much money to try and influence public opinion and their lobbyists and everything else, and they're winning.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
Yep, that's right.
Number four, taxes. Instead of getting behind a Wall Street speculation tax and reversing our regressive tax structure. He surrendered to the top 1%, and
That I could never accept. That I was very upset with, and you know, there's no excuse for that. Now he's pulling out this thing in weekly about, you know, W-E-A-K, not W-E-E-K, but W-E-A-K-L-E-Y, about only taxing people above $250,000 a year.
Right.
And Republicans are raising hell about that, and just, you know. It's a futile effort. It's completely ridiculous. And it is an abomination because it abandons, really, the notion that the real wealthy and the crooks on Wall Street should have to pay for their crimes, and they should be taxed more heavily.
Well, and that's number three, the money in politics. And instead of campaigning against the moneyed interests, he does
swim. He accepts it.
Oh, yeah.
He always has.
Democracy down the tubes on that. Number two is the military-industrial complex. He's pushing Republicans in the Congress to increase military spending as percentage of GDP.
Well, he's bought out, let's face it.
Yeah, the cracker here is military spending under the Obama administration has been higher than it was during any year of the George Bush administration.
Yeah, and the threat nowadays is less.
If you try to tell, even my sister will argue with me over this one, and it's like, hey, look it up, and it makes her so angry she doesn't want to believe it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the truth, though, and it's sad. And, you know, we're under less threat today than we were years ago, not too many years ago, and we're spending more and more and more. But that's what happens. The military-industrial complex, once they get their appetites whetted, they want more and more and more and more, and they, over a period of years, they get it.
Well, you know, the number one reason that Russell says he will not vote for, and it's a well-written piece here. I mean, if you get the, no matter how many times I leave and say stop sending me the, I still get the Obama emails. And he says, I want to ask you a question. Will you stand with me kind of thing? And this is where this comes from.
Yeah,
and
right.
He did a really wonderful job. He says the number one reason, and you saw the only person who addressed this right out the friggin' chute in 2009 was Keith Olbermann. He said, you know, what are you capitulating to? Why are you giving in to him? And
this is what
he has done from day one.
Well, he's trying to placate him way too long. I have a feeling that, you remember that little meeting he had with Bush right after the right after he won the election, that interim meeting he had? They came out all buddies and smiles, and I know now why that happened. He said, hey, I'm not really that kind of guy. Here's what I believe in. And Bush said, okay, that's fine. That's what I think happened.
I wouldn't even begin to wonder at what happened. But, you know, he folded from the very minute he walked in. I mean, he bent over, grabbed his ankles. And
yeah, he did.
His former Harvard law professor, Roberto Unger, put it. He quote, evoked a politics of hand-holding, but no one changes the world without a struggle.
Right,
and
exactly.
It's Unger who has said, too, that he should be defeated in the coming election. Well, you know, you got
to
wonder.
Yeah, I'm not willing to go that far, and I'll tell you why. When I look at what he would be defeated by, and the possibility of Mitch McConnell and the Republicans and the conservative Republican and the Tea Party taking over the Senate and resuming control over the House, I see nothing of any advantage in letting that happen. I think that would be absolute disaster. And, oh, yeah, might wake up a few people and might make them get alarmed and vote different next time. But there could be one hell of a lot of damage done between now and next time. And I'm not willing to face that.
There's an old saying, you know, my grandmother would say something like, well, you got to take your medicine now.
Yeah, well.
And
I think we've been taking it for the last 30 years. I don't want to take any more.
I agree. I am going to say, though, what is going to be the catalyst that gets the majority of Americans out of the foggy world of being so in the rut of daily stress of trying to survive, coming home, flopping in a chair, and just lapping up the mainstream media's lies and corporate-driven consumerism, and wake up and see and smell the crap.
The real coffee, yeah.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
It's going to take someone other than a Barack Obama, because a Barack Obama makes them feel good.
Well, but look at this, though. Look at did we learn anything under Bush? All we did was we threw the Republicans out for a few years, and that was it. And there were no big changes. Oh, you know, this is a game that goes on. The wave goes this way and the wave goes that way. But there's never a big, huge wave, you know?
But you know what? It was a landslide that Obama won with, because he represented. Think about what he represented.
Yeah.
So if people get enough of the bullshit again right in their face, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm saying that there's got to be a catalyst somewhere, the same way that, you know,
a lot of blue dog Democrats were elected during 2008 election. And you know something? They didn't help the matter at all. As a matter of fact, they aided and abetted a lot of that crap. They really did. And I'm sorry, it didn't. That's why we didn't have big change. And that's why the health bill barely passed, and that's why the even though it was imperfect, and that's why the stimulus didn't get anywhere near as much support as it should have, and it wasn't anywhere near as massive as it should have been.
Well, I'll agree with you on that. I do say that, you know, do you know much about, I'm sure you do, because you're a pretty, pretty awesome historian. About Teddy Roosevelt?
Oh, great.
But
great
Teddy.
Guy. He grabbed the bull by the horns and he threw it around a bit, you know.
Absolutely. Walks up and takes charge. Say, well, I don't give a damn. You know, and a president has that kind of authority. Look what Bush got away with.
Oh, exactly. But Obama has not done that. Obama's been a handholder, just like Unger said. Very true.
Yeah. And the point is that he could have taken that path.
Now, do you think Mitt Romney's going to shake the bull, shake the horn, the bull by the horns, take the bull by the horns and shake it around? I don't think so. I think he'll shove it up our butts is what he'll do.
Oh, you know what I think Romney wants? I think he watched how a guy like Dick Cheney got into a position in government and made himself a freaking billionaire.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
By manipulating the government as he wished through the art of war, if you will.
Oh yeah.
And I think that Mitt Romney's like, I'm going to get me some of that.
Mitt Romney's just got stars in his eyes. He wants to be the president. That's the pinnacle of his epitome of success is being the president, being elected to the biggest office in the land, and being the big wheel. That's what he wants more than anything. It's self-centered ambition, and he has nothing in mind for the American people or for foreign policy. He would surrender all his foreign policy to the neocons, and we'd be in another war.
Well, I think what he's about is
himself
a prophet. I think he's more about the prophet than he is.
Exactly.
Not himself. He was governor while I lived in Massachusetts. I've seen what he does. He is a two-faced.
He's a liar. He's a blatant liar, and he lied about residency to even get elected there. I mean, it's a joke. The guy is a constant pathological liar.
Yeah.
And I thought Bush was a liar, and Cheney. Those guys were liars too, but this guy takes the cake.
Ah, hell, yeah. But
everything he says is a lie.
But what's really, really funny is the fact that, or really funny, strange, is the fact that they're neck and neck in so many states. Now, Obama is actually got more support in the state of Florida right now than Romney does, which is a switch up. We have, I was laying in bed the other night, getting ready to read, and I picked up my, just as I picked up my remote to turn the television off, a commercial came on for Alan West.
Oh God!
I can't.
Now wait, is
you.
Alan Grayson running against him?
What?
Is Alan Grayson running against him?
No.
Oh, he's
no,
not. Oh, doggone! I hope he would.
He's no. Alan Grayson is running up in the middle of the state.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, okay.
Alan West is down.
Oh, Alan West belongs in the middle of the ocean. He's terrible.
Okay. No. You're right. I think Alan Grayson is. I'm not quite sure. I think you're right. Actually, Jack, I think he is running.
That's what I thought. Yeah. And I hope he. And I think I got a good feeling he's gonna beat West because I don't know that West's support is all that strong among the people. Now, among the moneyed interests, I'm sure they're showering him in gold. But you know, I think Alan Grayson stands a better chance of. It was a close election last time. I think it'll be a close one this time, and I think Alan Grayson will hopefully retire that guy for good. Because that Alan West, he's crazy.
Well, yeah, he's a bad. He is a very bad element.
Boy.
No, actually, who's running against Alan West is Lois Frankel, who's a corporate Democrat. She's Democrat. She's no better, really.
Yeah.
Grayson is running for districts in the northern part, the middle to the northern part.
Oh, okay, running
against people who won because he got nasty like they were the last time, and people got upset with him for being nasty.
Right.
So
I think they've had a taste of his successor, and I think they're done with that. I would hope so.
Well, you know, Kroeber,
the successor was a Tea Party guy, wasn't he?
Definitely.
See you later, you know.
Krell, as David is commenting here, and he's saying that it's just a big good cop, bad cop routine. And support from the left is forced because, quote, look at the right, and the support from the right is driven by hate words like socialists and birth certificates.
Oh, sure. Exactly.
And then Krell asks some good questions here. He says, what's worse, a liar or a liberal liar?
It's hard to split the coin, isn't it?
You know.
It's hard to split the hair, yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. But, you know, when it boils down to it, yeah, I would much rather see Alan Grayson win that election than some Tea Party idiot.
Well, it's a standard GOP. That guy isn't too much Tea Party, but he's such an old, from that old conservative corridor. We call it the I-4 corridor down here.
Well, let's seal that up for good and get him out of there.
The I-4 corridor, remember, is where the young black man was stand your ground murdered. It's the I-4 corridor is where the Republican Party is bedrock with the old KKK folks.
Oh yeah, see we. Yeah, well, we don't need any more of that stuff, right? That's for sure.
But they've gotten smart. The older guys got smart. They left the robes away, and they walked into politics as Republicans, you know,
right.
25, 30 years ago.
Well, that's the story of the whole South, for that matter, you know, if you want to generalize.
Yeah, it's quite true. I went to school up there, you know, when I was 13 at a boarding school, and I'll tell you what, I mean, the KKK used to pull over our buses in the middle of the orange groves when we were going to away games and pass out their paraphernalia. I mean, it was terrible.
Sure.
It was scary.
I can imagine. Yeah, it was very prevalent. And in an underground sense of the word, it still is prevalent.
In the underground sense of the word, you're right. There's, you know,
the Republican Party mainly. And
There are seriously bad people out there that are part of the Republican Party who co-mingle with people like the Koch brothers and their institutions. And
and they get used by them. They get used by people like the Koch brothers because they're not that bright. They're very slanted in their viewpoints, and they have a libertarian tinge in there too, that they don't want the government doing anything, and the Koch brothers doesn't want the government doing anything either. So there you go. It's a marriage made in heaven.
Well, they basically just want the government to be a tool for their progress.
Exactly.
Ineffective
and completely out of the way.
It's like the Pope in Rome, you know? Hey, listen, I'm going to control y'all, and that's how it's going to be. It's basically where it's at. Krella's posted an interesting piece from the Washington Times on the I-4 corridor that's in the chat room right now. If I pop on it, I lose my studio page. I found out.
Washington Times, yeah. That's worth a read only because you know it's going to be garbage. But, that's a pretty conservative newspaper.
He's also posted the Jill Stein page. Our brother-sister shows, Pinko the Bear and Diane G. at Wild Wild Left, have interviewed the socialist candidates running. I have not tried to reach out to them. I think maybe as it gets down to it, I will try to reach out to them to bring them on and ask them questions.
Yeah, it'd be good. You know, it's good to let them have their airtime, and because nobody else will, the mainstream media sure won't. And you know, hopefully, little by little, a lot of what they say will be accepted by the public, and someday they will be viable candidates. You know.
Right. And Krell has a message for you, Jack. He was meaning to show how much racism still plays a part by posting the Washington Times in all of it. And he's quite right.
Sure.
There's an incredible amount of it going on.
And especially through the Tea Party, you bet.
Yeah. And once we get out of the summer here and the mean season really will start.
Around really, Labor Day, it'll really, yeah, really ratchet up.
Absolutely. Hey, buddy, we have burned an hour, man.
Wow, incredible, incredible. We barely scratched the surface of that article, that 10 reasons, you can't argue with any of them. The only parting argument I can make is that beware what you're opposing. We have a very poor choice, but there is a choice. It isn't a very good one, but and I don't know if letting the Republicans and the conservatives and the Tea Party be victorious, I don't really believe that people are really going to learn from that. I think we're going to be harmed by that aspect. So that's why I'm not going to support that argument, but I'm not going to pick a fight with anybody over it either because I understand where they're coming from.
It's a hard place to walk right now.
It really is.
I am going to put my energy, focus my energy where I think it should be, which is probably going to be with the Green Party. Close up the show today, I have a little something from Krell. He asked, how many nuclear engineers does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer would be 7, 1 to install the new bulb, and 6 to figure out what to do with the old one for the next.
Yeah, that's about it, isn't it?
It is.
Well, have a good week, everybody. We'll look forward to next week, whatever it may bring us, and we're one day closer to finding out what's going to happen this fall, I guess.
Yes, and I would add to that, everybody, please stay safe. Please stay kind.
Yeah, definitely.
And thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Gwen. And thank you, David.
We are sponsored by Roundtree 7 blog. That's Roundtree, the number 7.com, and DaughtersOfISIS.com. So come and visit us. Daughters of Isis is going to premiere on August 15th. Jack, next week.
Cool. All right. We'll do it. It's a date. Talk to you then. Good night, everybody, and have a great week.
Good night.
Goodbye.